listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
Good morning. Well, happy Mother's Day. Rocky has already said what I wanted to say, as I know this day can be hard for many. And I just want to tell you that you've been prayed over today. As I was praying this morning and thinking about this day and how much we celebrate, each woman should be celebrated for all you do. You speak into many lives. Even if you're not called a mother, you are, as a woman, very highly favored. And I just want to say thank you. I want you to help me welcome the women at the FWRC this morning. And also help me welcome our Trenton campus. Amen. I want to wish my beautiful daughter-in-law a happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for giving us Knox. And I also want to say happy Mother's Day to my daughter, Kendall. I don't know where she's at. Oh, there you are. Haven has not joined us out here yet, but she is with us today, and I just love you both so much. So today, I am talking about wise women. All of us should be considered wise, or you should be aiming for that goal. But I want to share a story with you. There were two tribes high in the Andes Mountains. One was low in the lowlands, and one lived up in the high part of the mountain. Well, one day, the mountain people invaded the lowlanders, and as a part of their plundering, they kidnapped an infant baby, and they took it high back up into the mountains with them. Now, the lowlanders didn't know how to climb the mountain at this time. They did not know the trails to use. They did not even know how... they didn't even have the right kind of shoes to climb this mountain. So what they did was they gathered their best men that they thought could go and get this baby back for them. And the men that they gathered together first tried one method of climbing and then another, and that failed. They tried one trail and then another. And after several days of effort, they had only climbed several hundred feet. Feeling very hopeless and helpless, the lowlander men decided that the cause was lost and they would prepare to return to their village. But as they were preparing to go back down and they were packing up all of their gear, they saw the baby's mother coming down from the mountain that they couldn't climb. And they saw that she had a baby strapped to her back. One man greeted her and said, "How in the world did you climb that mountain when us men, couldn't even do it? The strongest and most able." She shrugged her shoulders and said, "It wasn't your baby." Here's to strong women. May we know them, may we be them, and may we raise them, right? Amen? Amen. Today, my sermon is entitled, Woman at the Wall. And I did not get that wrong. Not woman at the well, it's a woman at the wall. And then if you want to go ahead and find our passage of scripture today, it's going to be found in 2 Samuel chapter 20. I'm going to start at verse 14, but I want to kind of give you a little bit of a brief history of what's happening during this time. You see, we find King David, he's in a complete mess. He is in such a disarray of emotions. His daughter had just been assaulted. One son murdered the other, and he led an uprising against his father, King David, only to be killed himself later. David's house is a complete chaos, and to say the least, he is in chaos also. Judah and Israel, the tribes, are divided in ongoing violence, and even all through that, he had reclaimed his throne after the rebellion of Absalom, yet that peace was very short-lived. Sounds like some of our homes, doesn't it? Up and down. But another rebellion was quickly emerging, and it was led by a man named Sheba. Now, King David had a military commander, a very loyal military commander by the name of Joab, and he sent Joab out to find Sheba so they would not have to worry about this being someone that they needed to be afraid of. So Joab set out, and he went to Abel Beth Maacah, a town that Sheba was hiding out in. Now, this town was a very fortified city that many people knew about, and I'm going to come back to that word fortified, so remember that for later. But Joab is prepared to destroy this entire city to get this one man. But during all of this, we find one nameless woman whose story is so remarkable that they recorded it in scripture, that she didn't even have a name. She was only known by one powerful detail. She was wise. Let's pick up at verse 14. Meanwhile, Sheba traveled through all the tribes of Israel and eventually came to the town of Abel Beth Maacah. All the members of his own clan, the Bichrites, assembled for battle and followed him into the town. When Joab's forces arrived, they attacked Abel Beth Maacah. They built a siege ramp against the town's fortifications and began battering down the wall. But a wise woman in the town called out to Joab, "Listen to me, Joab. Come over here so I can talk to you." As he approached, the woman asked, "Are you Joab?" "I am," he replied. So she said, "Listen carefully to your servant." "I'm listening," he said. Well, that's a miracle in itself, isn't it? Yeah, we could just end right there and say, praise God. Just kidding. Verse 18, then she continued, "There used to be a saying, if you want to settle an argument, ask advice at the town of Abel. I am one who is peace-loving and faithful in Israel, but you are destroying an important town in Israel. Why do you want to devour what belongs to the Lord?" And Joab replied, "Believe me, I don't want to devour or destroy your town. That's not my purpose. All I want is a man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, who has revolted against King David. If you hand over this one man to me, I will leave your town in peace." "All right," the woman replied, "we will throw his head over the wall to you." Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice, and they cut off Sheba's head and threw it out to Joab. So he blew the ram's horn and called his troops back from the attack. They all returned to their homes, and Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. That gets me fired up. I don't know about y'all, but I want to cut off some heads today. How about you? Amen. This had to be a very high-stress moment for this entire town. I can't imagine the feeling. You know, they had left their homes because it said they returned to their homes, so they were hiding out. They were trying to find safe places in their town that used to be safe. Joab and his men are just beating down the walls as much as they can. They wanted to wipe the whole place out to find this one man. But who steps out? Who is courageous enough to step out and have a conversation with this military commander? It was one wise woman. She didn't come out bearing a sword, but she carried something far greater, wisdom. I don't need any other title than to be known as a wise woman. I don't need anything else. And us that are seeking titles and power and all that, if you don't have wisdom, that is worth nothing. That wasn't even in my notes. I'm just saying that today. But this wise woman, when chaos was closing in on her city and her family, she didn't react out of panic. I didn't hear panic in that verse, in those verses. She responded from a place of spiritual grounding. She was standing on a firm foundation, and she understood that words do matter. We have to speak from a place of truth, legacy, and clarity when the time comes. And we also have to remember, she spoke from a place of historical awareness. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves and our loved ones what God has said. And in verse 18, she said, "People used to say, let them ask advice at Abel." You see, she was calling her city and all those people in hiding back to their identity to remind them that this is a place of wisdom and reconciliation. I can just imagine that this woman's voice cut through the pandemonium, not because she was loud, because she was anchored in discernment. She had discerned that moment. She had to be standing back there with all the fearful ones thinking, am I really going to do this? Am I really going to step forward? But she was so anchored in discernment that the Lord just gave her that little nudge to be pushed out there to be so courageous. And in a culture where we see it all day long, that words can destroy as quickly as swords, we must choose our words wisely. Jesus tells us in Matthew 12, 36 through 37, Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Words matter, people. Men and women in this room, this is not just a message for women. We need to watch our words, and we need to be in prayerful time with the Lord so that when we speak, we're speaking with wisdom. Also in James 1:19, it says, in times of unrest, we must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This wise woman knew that words mattered. And her words weren't only respected, they were followed. People respected this woman and they followed her commands. She saved her whole town because of her wisdom. This was a display to me for true spiritual wisdom. And I want to be her. How about you today? Do you want to be her? Women, men, I think we could all say we want to be those men and women of God that live in that wisdom. And we cannot live in that wisdom unless we're opening this up every day. This is the word that matters most. I want Rocky to bring up the altar that I love redoing furniture. It's kind of like therapy for me. I love tearing things apart and then putting them back together. And I was recently cleaning out my grandparents' house with my mom. And I came across this piece of furniture, and it was wood, like a deep wood with a different piece of material on it. And I kept looking at it, and I remember my grandma would set like little teddy bears on it, and then her dog sat on it a few times looking out the window. And I just kept looking at it as we were cleaning. And Knox and I love to pray every morning when he comes to my house. We'll eat breakfast, and then we have a time of prayer. Sometimes he feels like it and sometimes he don't. And he's like, I'm going to go to my room. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to the altar because I have it in this spare bedroom that I've never been able to have because we've always had children in the house. And I've redone it to just, it looks like a beach cottage to me when you walk in. It's so peaceful. And I have a beautiful candle in there that smells amazing. It's just kind of like my war room now. Well, I took this piece of furniture home from my grandparents and I took the piece of material off. I sanded it down and repainted it. Got a pretty piece of material to go on top. And I said, this is going to be mine and Knox's little altar. So he'll find me some mornings praying by myself. But by the end of the prayer, he's joined me. And the other day, we were at lunch with Kendall. And she was asking him to pray about someone's upcoming surgery. And he looked at me and he's like, Grammy, we'll go to the altar. That was priceless to me. What we teach them and what they see, and he is also seeing it at home with his parents and then also it getting backed up at his Pop Rock and Grammy's house, is something that we can't buy. It's something that titles don't bring. It's a spiritual posture of just kneeling down and them seeing that you're taking the time to kneel down and to pray. This piece of material is not that old, but it's already bore so many tears that I've prayed over my family, over our church, over my marriage, over my friends and family that are suffering. And I'm going to cherish this, and I hope to one day pass it down through my grandchildren and that they will know that that's a special piece of furniture. But again, it's a piece of furniture. It's the act that we do in the spiritual posture of kneeling down every day to give our troubles and our burdens to the Lord. You see, our alignment has to be with God's truth. And that's all that woman needed to have the greatest influence on her town. She had all authority by God because she had prepared in private. Your ability to listen and to discern moments for yourself, for your children, for those around you, that is something that you should be striving for each and every day. You should speak life-giving truth. It's needed in your home. It's needed in your workplace. It's needed in this church and your community. Your faith can preserve peace and it can protect generations and it can shift destinies for those that you have power over and a word that you have for them. So please don't underestimate your influence that you have. Even if you don't have children, you are influencing someone. Because when you pray for wisdom and then you walk in it, when you dwell in the presence of the Most High, and when you operate under the authority of the Holy Spirit, when you do all those things, heaven has your back. even when you may be the only courageous person that steps out to that wall and speaks life-changing words. So I know all of us in this room can think of at least one wise woman in your life. I have many wise women in my life, prayer circles, staff, women, just women that may not even live here. They live other places and they speak into my life. But think about, each one of us has one wise woman you can think about. And when you think about her, when she walks into a room, it seems like something shifts just a little bit. She is one who prays. Even when she is exhausted, she prays on her knees, calling out every name in her family. She prays when her marriage feels dry. She prays when the finances might seem impossible. She decides, as a wise woman, she will not stop when her faith feels thin. She is preparing for battle, and she is expecting a harvest. She is planting seeds that will become a harvest. And you see, she builds altars in the secret that will shift the entire course of a family line. The devil has to back up when he hears a praying woman on her knees. Amen? There is power in that. Don't neglect that time. You see, wise women carry a burden in prayer that becomes a blessing in the natural. She may not always get named, but you know what? God sees it, and heaven is recording it. And the generations that come after her will be able to walk in freedom because of the battles that she fights today. As Rocky told us, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, there is a power of three. Generational curses are broken. It may start with you, or it may have been you have a mom or a grandma that's wise and a prayer warrior. But if it's starting with you today, don't say, well, I'm not as strong as you. Let it start with you. And you create an atmosphere of prayer and let your children see that prayers can be answered. In Ecclesiastes 9:18, it says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. To me, that shows just how powerful wisdom is, that it's more powerful than the weapons of war. We should be seeking and knowing and trusting him daily, because the battles are going to come. Regardless of what we do, they are going to come. No respecter of persons. We have had our battles, many of them. I'm going to talk about later, but your battles will come. How are you going to be prepared? There is also a story in the Bible. It's not a story. It's describing a woman in Proverbs 31. And I chuckled a little bit, and I've read this over and over again. But if you look at the very front of the 31st Proverb, it's advice given to King Lemuel from his mother. She is describing the type of wife that he should be looking for. And I think some of us look at that and went, I'll never measure up to that. But instead of looking at it like that, I don't see a perfect woman when we read Proverbs 31. I see a powerful one. I feel like he or his mother is describing to him many women. Because we all wear different ones of these scriptures that are in these Proverbs. But I want to read a few verses to you. In verse 16, it says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. I see a businesswoman, a decision maker, a confident woman. I see out here lawyers and doctors and physical therapists. I see gardeners. I see homemakers. I see soap makers. It takes each and every one of us to be that person that can consider a field and buy it. I love Publix, and I consider many things in there, and I buy them. And so I see what they're talking about there. In verse 25, it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Again, I see so much confidence in this woman, not because her life was probably easy, but because everything was not always figured out, but because she remained faithful in the day-to-day, daily, in and out. She was wise, she was faithful, and she was not anxious about tomorrow because she knew who holds her tomorrow, right? Verse 26 says, when she speaks, her words are wise. And again, there's that word, wise. We should carefully think about the weight of our words and daily pray for wisdom that comes from reading his word daily. I cannot come up here and speak to you. I cannot be a good wife, mother or grandmother, pastor's wife, unless I am in this daily. His word comes alive. It is real. It is active. And that's where my wisdom comes from. You see, verse 27 says, she carefully watches over everything in her household. I see many of you watching over the affairs of your household, caring deeply for who lives in it and who is coming in and out. You carefully are watching sometimes from the back and sometimes at the front. She didn't ignore in her home what needed attention. That wise woman, she didn't ignore what needed attention, and she was able to act right when she needed to. A wise woman also knows what her children are being exposed to. She knows the atmosphere that she's cultivating and the tone that she is setting. I always tell mothers, then they ask me, do I do sleepovers, do I not? That is your home, and you make decisions for your home. No one else, if someone else is doing it and you're not, you don't have to apologize for that. You have to make the strong decisions for your home. See, this wise woman speaks life, and she builds structure, and she creates stability in her home. Proverbs 14:1 says, a wise woman builds her home. The way that that wise woman was, their town, it was fortified. I told you we would get back to this word. That town of Abel was very fortified, meaning they had built walls to protect them from the enemy coming inside. The meaning of fortified means to make stronger or more secure. They were a community that was full of wisdom, peace, and restoration, and they wanted to protect that. But somehow the enemy made his way in. And they found them place, they felt very helpless in the moment. And I just want to tell you that some of us may feel that same way in your own home. That you've built these walls, and I know we talk about building walls and tearing them down, but these are the walls that protect us from the outside, the enemy that tries to come in. But with each prayer that we pray, we're making our walls stronger and more secure around the things and the people that we love the most. And a strong home, it's not built in public. It is built in private. It's created daily. It's in the small moments. It's in the unseen. And it's in consistency. That is a huge word for me, consistency. You need to be consistent every day. Your children need to see you being consistent in your holy habits every day. And when she's able to pray on her knees, she can stand up and she can declare and she can proclaim. I don't know about you, but when I get excited, I start pacing and I keep my eyes open. I don't know, some of you may think that you need to close your eyes when you pray, but I got to watch where I'm going. So I am praying and I'm declaring and I'm saying, get out of my house. Get out of my house. I don't know how you got in here, but you better get to stepping. Because what we allow in our homes will eventually grow in our homes. And I don't want fear. I don't want any of those things growing in my home. And so sometimes you have to open the front door and say, get out. Get out of my house. And I know that this can feel heavy. I know that at times our life feels so heavy. And the enemy wants you to believe that you don't have it in you. But I'm declaring today that each and every one of you have it in you to pray over the ones that you love the most. And you can declare what their life is going to be. And when the enemy's weapons tries to break through your wall, I want you to cut the head off of that and throw it back over the wall. Amen? We need to get stronger with our weapons and cut the head off of the sin that has entered your home and throw it back over the wall. Wise women, anoint your door frames and declare scripture. Every prayer we pray is laying another brick. Because you are interrupting generational cycles. You are silencing assignments before they even can mature. So keep laying your hand on their forehead at night. Keep whispering their names and reminding them of their identity. Because long after your voice leaves that room, your prayers will be standing guard. Revelations 5:8 says, your prayers are gold bowls of incense before the throne. That tells me that they are not forgotten. They are being collected. They are not being ignored. They are sacred. And they are still working. There are prayers that I've prayed for years that I have stopped praying, but God never did. There's things that have come to pass, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I prayed for that. And he said, yeah, I never forgot. You may have, but I never forgot. You see, our prayers will build the altars that our children need. It will break cycles and it will birth revival. Our homes need revival. We need to be praying for revival in our homes. I want your children to be so on fire for Christ that their schools can't even contain them. I need more people to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to draw a permanent boundary line. An enemy, you have no right. And I'm going to back way behind it. And my children are going to stay way back here too, because we don't need to get close to that line. I've set it for a reason, and I've marked my territory over my family, over my home. The last verse in Proverbs 31, it says, reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. I just want to say thank you. There are many in this room, as I said earlier, that I consider you very wise. I pray today that you are rewarded by the people in your life for your faithfulness. I pray that you are continually be able to pour into the next generation all of the wisdom God gives you. And he will continue to give it to us. I hope at 95, I am still praying for more wisdom. We should be seeking this and running after it. As I close today, I want to tell you a personal story about when the enemy was attacking. And we've had many attacks on our fortified walls throughout our 31 years together. Cancer tried to get us when we were newly married in our first year, but it didn't win. Marital issues came, of course, as the enemy likes, okay, if I can't kill you, then I'm going to kill your marriage. And we said, no, you're not. And we prayed, and we fasted, and we trusted the Lord, and we're able to stand before you today to say, and you can do it too. You can be strong. Church people, you have tried to tear down our walls sometimes. They're not in here today, but they have tried to tear down our walls. But we stood strong and said, no, that's not. We're going to have the peace of the Lord living in our hearts. But I know many of you moms can understand. I can fight all the battles when it's against me. But when it comes to one of my children, watch out. Nope, you're not going to have my child. And about 6 years ago, I remember when Kendall was battling anxiety. She had come back from college. And somehow, the enemy broke through our wall, and fear and anxiety and panic attacks began to just almost destroy her, almost destroy us. I had never fought a battle like this before, and I learned a lot through her, and I can stand here today and say I learned a lot, but during that time when I think about it, man, I didn't know which way to turn but to Jesus. I was on my knees daily. I was sitting at our fortified wall, and I was just saying, how did you get in? How did I let you in? See, I want to think that I let it in. But the enemy has its ways to come in even when I wasn't even prepared for it, wasn't even ready for it. And I sat there just feeling defeated day after day as I was pushing her out the door, telling her, you can do this. And I would sit there and cry and go, Lord, how are we going to do this? I sat there for many, many days. And then one day I got up and I said, no more. I anointed her bed. I anointed the door frame coming into our home. I pleaded with God and I paced. And I called her name out in prayer, and I would text her scriptures to her to say, you're going to make it. You're going to get through this day. And tomorrow, we're going to get through tomorrow. But right now, we're just thinking about today. I quoted scripture. I had to remind myself of what was going to take place out of this, that we were going to use this one day. But guys, it gets heavy, don't it? I know many of you are fighting many battles in your life. And they all look different, but that's your battle. But we can use the same type of things to fight every battle. This works. But then we have to get up and we have to move forward. I remember the night it broke. It felt like it had been years and it had only been a few months. But it had been a very hard day. And I just remember in her room, and she pleaded with me. She knew I was tired. She said, please don't go get Dad. And she wanted to keep this private. She, you know, the perception of the pastor's kid having to deal with something like this. But what she didn't know is her dad had fought a silent battle as well of anxiety. And I didn't listen to her. I said, I've got to go get your dad. I need backup. And I remember Rocky walking into the room. He had an idea, of course, living in the home, and I had shared a little bit, but I still protected her, and he wanted to honor her privacy, but I said, I can't do this anymore. I need your help. And he walked into the room, and this exhausted mama just felt, he asked a few questions, and then he began to pray over our daughter. And I have to tell you, I remember that moment so clearly because it was like the Heavenly Father walked into that bedroom that night and said, Mama, I got this. And we cannot fight battles all on our own sometimes. Even we have the Lord, but we have to share it with someone. We have to say, I need backup right now, and they take over for you. That night, we all three cut the head off of that enemy and we threw it back over our wall, and it has never, ever come back again. Amen. The fear, the panic, the anxiousness, it was gone. And then sometimes it tries to rear its ugly head sometimes, but we know how to fight it. And we say, back off, devil. Get out of this house. You are removed in Jesus' name. And I say all this to say, let's get serious about drawing boundary lines. Mark your territory. Your fortified walls may be here, but keep stacking those bricks prayer by prayer, because one day you will have a fortified city that surrounds your family, yourself, your loved ones. You have God-given authority, and you can be just like that wise woman at the wall.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.